Evolve 360, a holistic approach to life, is an exploration of learning through experience to transform individually and culturally as a whole by taking a 360-degree look at our quality of life, including the limiting beliefs, worn-out paradigms, and destructive habits that have led us to where we are today, and to instead create or revolutionize a new life vision that brings greater peace, appreciation, fulfillment, clarity, happiness, and joy as we ultimately evolve. In our last three episodes of our series on the Sacred Contract of America, Shelley and I explored the birth of our nation and its sins. We also went macro and discussed the four survival archetypal patterns and the eight archetypal patterns that played a major role in influencing the creation of the United States of America. Yet on the flip side, have also adversely affected our nation's alignment with its soul and its sacred contract. So if you haven't listened, go back and catch up on episodes 12, 13, and 14. This episode is named after a book written by Robert Ojeda called Transforming Fate into Destiny, A New Dialogue with Your Soul. As you have come to learn by listening to Shelley and I, is that what's in the macro level is also in the micro level. And that in knowing this, you as an individual have greater power than you think. And the fate and destiny of our nation's soul and sacred contract is in your hands. So let's dive in to exploring how to transform the fate of America into destiny together. Welcome to the Evolve 360 Shelley Shell Show with hosts
Shelley Grace
and Shelley Divine. Hey, soul sister.
Hey, soul sister. So, wow.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, like, I just had a major experience just before this show where I was listening to Carolyn Mace at a workshop she did like over 10 years ago. Uh-huh. And it just opened me up with some of my fate and destiny, maybe. I guess it would be issues like of what's kept me from my destiny, maybe in some ways. And it had to do with her saying sometimes we get these intuitive hits, like we might walk by our closet and clean that out. You know, we hear that in our mind or the garage needs to be cleaned, or clean out the basement. Or, you know, you got to go through that, all those pictures, you know, like those family pictures, you got to kind of go through them. And, you know, I've done a lot of that already, but this image came to my mind of this one piece or article of clothing that is in my closet to this day. And, right. and I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, what do I do with this? And I've cleaned out my closet before, but I've had these kind of things that have occurred, clean my office, you know, do these sorts
right.
of things.
Exactly. Especially now during this pandemic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you have the time to do it, but have I done it? No. And part of it was what she was telling the audience was the reason why you're getting that is on a bigger level. It's about mm-hmm. you going in and collecting your history and
wow.
not letting it be back in the past, because it's keeping you in your fated situation.
Yeah,
it pulls you back. You have a thread of energy still there.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God. So mm-hmm. I went to my closet, right? I mean, this was just 10
wow.
minutes before we started showing, you know, videotaping this show. So I really had like this freaking, you know, huge hit of transformation, which this episode is all about.
It is
destiny and transformation. And so I went to my closet and I looked at some of the clothing. I was like, yeah, I could get rid of that. And I'm like, you know, just doing a mental, you know,
right.
And this one piece, I was like, why is this one? I've worn it maybe once.
Uh-huh.
And it's been here for
15 years. And I pulled it. I pulled it out and looked at it. And I'm like getting like, like one of these. I'm like, oh my God, I can't let go of this because of what it represented.
And oh my goodness.
It had to do with my first love, my first real, like the love of my life, my ex-husband. And it, and everything that surrounded it, we were, you know, on a magical, you know, vacation in St. Bart's, and we went to this, we saw, at the hotel or the place that we stayed at, they had a fashion show, and this woman came out and she wore this amazing outfit that you wear over your bathing suit.
Oh, wow.
So there's all this amazing energy around this article of clothing, and my husband bought it for me at the time. And of course, you know, it's a romantic, so you can imagine, you know, there's all this bonding going on between the two of you, and there's sex, and there's, you know, and then you're spending money, and you're like, you know, all this.
You're in a magical place. You were the fairy tale princess.
Yeah. And I could not part with it. So I was thinking, how can I part with this? Like, this is history that I have to, you know, and it was sacred to me. This was sacred to me because of vows that I made and stuff. Mm-hmm. And here I am, I'm, you know, 15 plus years later, divorced, and he and I aren't together anymore, but it still had a hold on me. And I don't, and personally, I haven't moved on into another relationship that has been as fulfilling. And part of it is I'm still there. And Carolyn
is pulling you back.
Yeah, it keeps pulling me back. And I was like, oh my God, this is all micro level stuff, people. This is why I'm telling, and I'm sharing this very intimate story with you.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, my transformation just happened in a split second by listening to the intuition and knowing how to navigate and going in and saying, oh, wow. So, but I had a struggle. I'm like, what do I do with this? I can't throw this in a bag and send it to Goodwill or, you know, one of those bags that you put a bag in. I was like, this is sacred to me. This article of clothing is sacred to me. And
you have to honor it.
And I had to honor it. And at first I thought, okay, you know what? I could burn it. And then I thought, who could I give this to? And I was like thinking, you know, my closest friends are like, no. Yeah. But I mean, she could wear it really well, but no. It's too personal. It's too intimate with me. I'm attached. I'm attached. and so instead I thought, oh, wow, I know exactly what to do with it. And that will be a surprise for the individual that I can give that to, because it's something that I can live with and do, and I'll just leave it there.
Isn't that beautiful how you have clarity? And let me tell you, it takes courage. It takes courage to be able to go there.
That was a tough, and you're so, I mean, for me, for a minute, I mean, I could feel my throat chakra, I clenched up. I was like, I could feel like in my soul. These are areas of the soul, just so you guys know, seat of soul here, seat of soul here, you know, like these two points. And I could feel it here. And I'm like, you feel it in your physical body. This is micro. Okay. Yes. And today Shelley and I are going to go into, you know, power play between micro and macro, and how we're going to navigate through the fate and destiny of our country. And that, the only reason why I'm sharing that story is because it just happened just before this particular episode. And it's in me. It's in me right now.
No,
it's processing through me right this second.
And I feel it. I feel it. And you know, we're in this time warp, so to speak, because this pandemic has made us stay like in this bubble as the world is spinning, and it's like on a spin.
Yeah.
And it you know, with your story, it takes me to that movie, Back to the Future. Because, you know, we have no control, and we want to get into like this time-space continuum just to take us back, but we can't go back. You know, we can't travel back. Like you would just shared your story about, you know, the time that you had that was magical, but now you're in a different place. Now it's a different time. And even though, you know, you have those feelings of all different kinds of emotions, you know, we have to look at where we are. And this is what our show is about, with fate and destiny. And I talk about the movie Back to the Future because, you know, everybody wanted to go back to make it different, to make it better. You know, the what ifs, what if I would have done this, whatever. But we can't look backwards, because if we do, then we can't walk into our destiny. And right now we're in a time where we need to tap into leaders that are visionary, that can take us into this 21st century, take us to the next level of where we're going to be going. And these are leaders that have, you know, they have the tactics and the finesse of being able to navigate these very turbulent waters that we are in right now. Because a lot of leaders, they're looking to the past to kind of take us into the future. But those tactics and those, you know, those ways of being and doing things no longer serve us. No longer serve us. We have to look at life from an archetypal journey. We're in this collective, and we're on this, it's like a journey. We're like on a ship navigating these waters. And, you know, I think back to Carolyn that we always refer to, because she's our beloved teacher. You know, we just love her, and her teachings are just amazing. And she talks about hope. And hope is a grace. And hope gives us the capacity to think, to believe, to know that with grace and hope, we can see things clearly on a different level. And that's what happened to you, Shelly. You know, you walk through your closet, it pulled you back in. So this magical piece of clothing that you had so much history with, and it brought you so many feelings and so many different emotions. It just kind of sucked you in. And that's where we are, because when we look back to where we've been, and this is what a show's about, is our fate. Our fate, we've created our history, but now we're in this pause. And how are we going to get through this? Well, we all have to band together, and we have to have a vision to move forward on this journey and not look back. Mm-hmm. And with this vision, we need to remember that freedom must be managed, and we have to have this responsibility. And this show that we've put together for all of you is because we want to get you to think. There's so much information. Information is out there at the speed of thought. You know, so many people have so many different opinions. Everybody's an expert on everything. And, you know, we listen and we get sucked in, just like Chili got sucked into her closet this morning. You know, we get sucked into the way things were, the way things should be. But, you know, we want you to take a moment and stop and really see things from a different perspective and think. Tap into your intuition, align with your soul, align with the person that you are, and understand that our world is in transformation, and we need to move forward as a collective. Mm-hmm. So with that, Shelly, let's take it away into our show of fate and destiny.
Wow. Fate and destiny. So we got to ask the question, what is fate, and what's the difference between the two? What's fate and what's destiny? And so I think it calls for some definitions here of what we mean by fate. And I guess from what I've learned, and is from Robert Ahodo's book, Fate and Destiny, Transforming Fate into Destiny, is that before we incarnated, each person takes on two agreements. Right. Okay. So this is your, like, you know, part of your contract and with the universe. And the ancient Greeks, I guess, studied the heavens, and this is how this all occurred, studied the heavens and noted the planets and how they seem to embody different characteristics. So that, you know, we've been talking about archetypes all this time. So this is where we get these archetypal, you know, characteristics, personality, they're not personalities, but, you know, when we say a mother, we have an image of what a mother is. Or when we say a king, you've got an image of what a king is, or a queen. Mm-hmm. So, or a god even, or, you know, a rebel, now that we've discussed all those so much, in these past episodes. But, these characteristics are unique to each one and intimately woven into the fabric of the individual human soul as well as a country. And so astrology came from this study, and it's an accurate science. It's been based on it as an accurate science in interpreting the nature of an individual's fate or destiny, which is among, I guess it apparently was among one of the first sciences of the soul. So this is interesting in that when we look at fate, what is fate? Fate is what we're born with. It is, you know, the family that we're, the things that you can't change. And, you know, initially when we come in as we're birthed, it's, you know,
your situation, your family.
Your family, your nationality, your gender. These are things that you can't change.
Right.
All right. And your destiny is dealing with those things that you can't change and creating something for yourself in that is within your highest potential and living through your soul. Your fate is typically identifies with the ego and bases all its decisions from an ego dynamic, where your destiny is a little more fearless than that, is much more, and dives into taking, goes within and takes the guidance from within, from your soul. And that is a very challenging journey.
It totally is. It's the evolvement of the self, really.
Yeah.
The evolvement of the self.
And yeah.
Many times you have to break away from your tribe. Ooh. And, you know, and go through this journey of, some people call it the, you know, the hero's journey, and you circle yeah. back to find yourself.
Yeah.
But it, when I think of the destiny, it's like jumping over a cliff and trusting blindly that where you're going, because you're intuitively aligned with your soul, is where you need to go.
Right.
Instead of holding yourself back in shackles, for so to speak, and in yeah. situations or that don't no longer serve you. And so many people still are there. Yeah. And even our country, this is what we're talking about. Our country right now is in a state of turmoil because we're still living. And as we've been doing research, Shelley and I have found some riveting things to share with you that we just can't believe yeah. that is marked into our history.
Yeah, things we just didn't know growing up.
We didn't know growing up.
Yeah. yeah.
We didn't know, and we weren't taught in school at all.
Not at all.
So,
yeah. So destiny too has, you know, like when we talk about fate and destiny, you know, fate are the choices that the ego kind of makes for you, or you're basing a choice out of fear when you don't listen to that internal voice, maybe that is saying, oh, go do this. But you're like, oh, no. Not gonna, even though you know you should, you know, like it's, and so there's this play between ego and the soul connection, and it's managing that. And currently, like what Shelley just said about, you know, within our country, we have been cycling through patterns consistently that have led us to a fated situation where we currently are now. Right. And it's amazing that we're still dealing with these, you know, 200 plus years later,
right.
these same kind of issues that we started this country with.
The cycle keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't changed.
Yeah. And you got to ask, why is that? And it's because it's happening on our micro level.
Right.
It's happening within, you know, our individual lives and how we relate to power and controlling each other, trying to control each other. We can't you can't control what's, you know, somebody else. You can't do it. It's a recipe for major failure.
A disaster. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major failure. You got that right. Oof.
Yeah, I just right?
believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So some, there's a couple examples that I discovered, like with tribal nations and their destinies and how they haven't been able to tap into them. And one of them is like, say, the Arab nations and Israel. This is like, I mean, we've talked about what America's destiny is. It's all about freedom and liberty for the soul, for the individual human being, and equality for all. And that's something that's very universal. You could take that and say, you know, you go over to France, would you want that? Of course we want that. You could go over to Thailand. Yes, of course, as people, we want that. And that's what America's destiny is it's all about like creating that for people. Right. And so these Arab nations, these tribal nations, say Israel, what theirs is their inability to forgive. And they have to forgive. They have to forgive the crimes of the past. This is all about the heart, you know, like in dealing with the heart. And so if you were wondering, okay, why is it, you know, so important for America, and why are we talking about this stuff? Because right now we're in a pandemic and it's global related. And it's like, we haven't put these, sacred contracts of the soul of different nations even into play. We're still battling with them, and we have to bring it all together. And that's what's happening. And that's where we're transforming now, our as human beings. This is our evolution. I think we might be getting actually out of the narcissistic stage of transformation, which could be a topic of another show. I don't think we get into it too much this show. Right. We are currently in a narcissistic stage. We haven't gone into the evolutionary stage of our growth for transformation. There's five stages of it, but anyways. And I think it's even, it might even be, you know, on a global level, this, you know, where say, Israel and the Arab nations, their wounds have become their history. Right. You know, they're still looking back in that closet with that one article of clothing.
Pulled back, exactly.
And it's legend. It's written about. It's regurgitated. It's like talked about. It's still there. And they still have these political issues from country to country, Palestine to Israel. I mean, I don't even know that history all that well, but we know enough that there's this dynamic that's going on where they're, you know, casting bad energy back and forth to one another. And it's all because of this inability to forgive and to let go and to move forward.
And that happens in an individual at a micro level.
Yes. Yeah.
At a micro level, because everything that we do at a micro level, also it affects the macro, which is the whole of humanity. So what we're talking about, you can relate to your own life. If you haven't let go, and we started talking about Shelley's closet and letting go, you need to let go of your past. You need to atone, you need to heal, you need to forgive, you need to move on, because if not, you cannot walk into your destiny.
Exactly.
You're always going to be in your past.
Exactly.
Always.
Exactly. And so some of the crisis points that we've had in this country, for one, has been 9/11. That was a huge crisis point of saying, hey, wake up. We've been doing things outside this country that aren't in alignment with our sacred contract we're in a fated kind of situation, and we're just keep repeating it. And this, even now we've hit this global level of another crisis point with the pandemic, and we've been sabotaging ourselves along the way. By going back to, say, after 9/11, we went into Afghanistan and we went into a war, and we did things that this country would never have done. Mm-hmm. There was one thing, Shelley, I mean, this is, I don't know if it's on topic or off topic, but I watched the report, and it was all about the CIA's detention center in Guantanamo Bay and how they tried to cover it up. And they did, you know, waterboarding. And I mean, everybody knows about this, but we've become so desensitized to these acts of, I mean, it's just not American to do that. When you look at World War I and World War II, we went in and we helped build countries up. We didn't deconstruct them. We didn't take prisoners and do these sorts of things to it. And here we are, we're acting like what we aren't, like the bully.
Well, we need to think about why. I mean, I'm not a historian at all.
I'm not either, but it's just, it just shows where we're backsliding and sabotaging ourselves from what is our ultimate destiny. And it comes down to choice. And I guess that's the point I wanted to make with that story is it the choices that we're making individually and then on the government level and it's this constant dynamic of making. Destiny is all about making choices that are based from the soul, not from the ego to manipulate or to gain something for yourself or to get recognition, external recognition of some kind. It's all about taking ourselves to this higher level and listening to that and trusting that in the long run. And we haven't been doing, well, we've been doing it in some areas, but in other areas, maybe not so well of a good job. And I would say probably government-wise, we haven't been doing a good job.
Well, that's the problem that I have. And we've been talking about this because we're in a huge situation right now in America with a pandemic, with unemployment, with, you know, the racial problems that we've been having. And every time you turn on the news, you just, it's all about this control and this ego-based rah, 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 rah. That, you know, you just want to say to everybody, you know, stop. Everybody's blaming, everybody's pointing fingers. We need to just collectively band together and fix all of these situations. Fix the problems.
Well, I think, you know, this was one thing that I just learned recently. We believe in problem solving.
Right.
But that's basically this. I didn't know until like a couple days ago, Shelley, is that we're in a situation that we can't solve the problem.
No, you're right. We're in predicaments. You're absolutely right.
And what is going to get us out of a predicament? We are discovering now that we need help. And where are we going to get that help from? Are we going to get it from another country? We've been trying to do it that way for however long. You know, we have to go back to this internal dialogue with God and go within and start tapping into the soul and not building and not creating from this ego narcissistic type of mentality.
Well, it's an old mentality.
We're in a phase.
It's an old mentality.
It's become worn out, and I think we've recognized
20th century. You know, it's a 20th century mentality of we have a problem, we're going to create a solution. But you're right.
Yeah.
Right now we have situations that are not problems; they're predicaments.
Yeah.
Because COVID, you know, is there a vaccine? Is there a vaccine? How do you get it? Is it airborne? Is it not? I mean, all these different things. Like today in Miami, there's a really big problem because our state is one of the leading states of COVID. We had 15,000 cases yesterday here in one day. And they can't come to terms with the markers. Like, you know, should they close? Should they not close? I mean, there's so many political plays coming in. Yeah. The governor came down. One of the mayors of one of the cities wasn't invited. He didn't have a seat at the table. So, you know, you start going into all these different areas where we shouldn't even be going. What we should be doing is how can we keep people safe? Let's just cut to the bottom. You know, what is the foundation of this? There's a problem. Let's keep people safe. Forget about politics. And on top of everything else, it's, you know, a political year. And when things happen, sometimes they are augmented because of everybody's running for office, everybody, but we've got to stop doing this. We've got to go back down to the lowest common denominator. And that's the person. Mm-hmm. How can you keep people safe? How can you give factual information that's not skewed?
Yeah.
It doesn't have your opinions based on it. Mm-hmm. That's why we've put together this show, and we have another surprise coming up in the very near future for everybody as well, because we want to give you facts. Everything we do is research-based because we want to get you to think.
Mm-hmm.
Think on a collective whole for what's good for everyone. We are one. We have to unite and have one vision to move out of this and transform this world into a better place where everybody is in a good state, not just those that stated. And, you know, we're not ready to get into that part of the show, but oh my gosh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So all of what you said begs the question. It's like, what is America's sole intention?
Yes.
And it comes down to freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness for all human beings. Obviously, I mean, we all know this. And happiness isn't, you know, being sick and confined and what have you. But right now, we're in this place, not just as Americans, but globally, to you know, take this pause and sit and start thinking what that actually means, not just for yourself, but for your neighbor, for then, you know, maybe people that you work with, you start to get a little bit bigger and bigger. And what does that mean? And it's all about responsibility and accountability. And right now with this pandemic, when people are like, oh my God, I just got to go out and be with, you know, and do my thing and have a party or whatever,
we're
and have a group,
and,
you know, back to the past. But we do have to be responsible and say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't infringing on our rights as human beings. We're in a situation where we make a choice about, okay, I'm going to protect myself from hopefully, you know, not getting, you know, sick or something. But also too, is I don't want to go to a hospital and cause, you know, maybe the nurse or the doctor that are caretaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's being, you know, it's having some compassion about not causing them illness because they're on the front lines of this. And we've talked about this before. And so it's really, you know, totally like, you know, like being responsible.
And I go back to the intention of the show. Freedom must be managed.
Yes. And having respect for one another. That's
respect
freedom,
and the responsibility. Respect and the responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
and our destiny as Americans is to step into that global arena and lead the need to become one as a planet with these ideals that have been neglected. They've been neglected because we like to stay in our comfort zone and we like our stuff and we like our things. And we just, you know, and then we don't want to allow somebody to become maybe better than us.
Well, I think we've been in a denial of fate.
Yeah.
A denial of fate.
Yeah.
That generates victimhood. And you know, that victimhood can come from two different angles.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the victim as someone who is woe is me, you know, I'm owed this or whatever, or you can be the person that's a victimizer of someone else.
Sure.
So we haven't wanted to look at that.
Well, we haven't come out of it, Shelley.
No, we haven't.
Right? We haven't come out of it. We're still self-serving ourselves.
Right.
You know, this is where that narcissistic aspect as a country, we're all playing a part of this. This is in our cell tissue right now, is us taking care of ourselves. Oh, I'm not going to believe that there's a pandemic going on because I want to go and do my vacation.
Right.
And do my thing. And this is keeping me from it. And, and I'm like, oh, what class of people, who's dying? It's all those elderly people. Who cares about that? They're going to die anyways.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's the people that got to take care of them while they're dying too. They might get it too. It's not just, it's about having respect for someone
else.
Well,
there was another thing happening down here because, you know, Miami is like the sexy city.
Yeah.
So people renting mansions for the weekend and having parties of 100, 200 people at a time, and people were getting sick and dying until they had to say, you can't have short-term rentals anymore in Miami-Dade County. Now you have to have a long-term rental. So it impacts. What people don't realize is that irresponsibility and that mismanagement of your freedom impacts everybody else, because now that Airbnb or whatever person, you know, rents out that property that might be making a living from it now is going to be not, because unless they get someone who's going to rent for a month or more, they can't rent it out. And, you know, it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it gets into the greed, like the greed of entitlement, of us wanting to still do our thing, but at what cost? And,
And then when you get it, then you want to sue.
Oh, that's a whole other, this is something that dates back to, I mean, he did that to me. It's like that eye for an eye or whatever, right. You know, that kind of mentality. I mean, this predates even America. This is happening, but we are a superly litigious society where if somebody offends us, mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form, or harms us, could be an accident, could be whatever, we're going to sue them. And we're in fear of that. We're in fear. And this is interesting, this whole idea of being in fear of being arrested.
Right.
I mean, that's what the Black community deals with. I mean, like all the time, we're slaves to this. We are slaves to this. I mean, think of a physician. Okay. They have malpractice insurance because, God forbid, I make the wrong diagnosis and I get sued and it ruins my practice, because you know that there's a potential for that to happen. But how are physicians now being doctors? You know, right. Back in the day, a physician, like, you know, had a more, like, they were probably like, they had their little office in a town or something.
They were more holistic.
And they knew, you know, John Smith's, you know, entire family, and they knew everything about them. They were personally maybe involved a little bit more so prescribing, you know, remedies or whatever to that family, and not just, you know, popping a pill or whatever. Okay. This is going to solve this problem, which, I mean, I could get onto that subject, just knowing my own physical history and in dealing with my own doctor. And, you know, there's things that we can use the medical profession for. I'm not negating it, because thank God we have it the way we do, and the everything that they know now about certain mm-hmm. things to keep people well. But we've relied on it way too much. But I went sidetracked. I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. But
what I want to ask you, so Shelley, this is the question that I want to ask everybody out there, and I know that we're going to be answering it, is where are we losing power? Because it's all about power and control. I know that when I worked in the school system, I saw that all the time. We live in a litigious society, and there were parents that if they didn't get their way, they would sue just because, and it was horrible. Some of my teachers, you know, would be deathly afraid to have their kids in their classroom. Yeah. And we have to look at life from different places. You know, it's not that I'm knocking anybody, especially lawyers. I have some dear friends that are lawyers.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can't be going out there and taking a stand on everything that you know, you have to take responsibility. Because again, I go back to the intention of the show. Yeah. You have to manage your freedom. Freedom has to be managed. Yeah. It has to be managed. So where do you think we're losing power?
We have that victimizer kind mm-hmm. of thing, and we're still stuck in our fate. So we're losing power there because we are still looking for external gratification for certain things, you know, or we're looking for acknowledgement externally. So we lose power that way instead of going in and listening to, you know, what's inside of us and not being worried about what is happening out there. So we can step into our destiny and become leaders that are aligned with, mm-hmm. you know, the contract of this country for one, and right. really, really lead with that and understand what it takes to be involved in make decision making, and then being able to discern what is actually a
truth.
Choice that is, yeah, truth, but when we're making a choice, because it all comes down to choices, and we're losing power with the choices that we're making. You know, we're losing our freedom with the choices we are making. Right now is a perfect example of that. Our mm-hmm. freedom to be out and going to certain places. It's because of choices we've made in our history all right. along the way. And right. it's government choices. And this stuff has to come out. Like this whole, like, you know, where we're still lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves consistently. Right. I did this exercise with, it must have been on one of Caroline's shows or whatever, one of her workshops. And it was, okay, we're going to do it now. All right.
Okay.
We're going to do it now.
Okay.
All right. So,
yeah.
So what it is, okay, I want you to think back. Mm-hmm. Your first time ever where you had a choice, and the choice was to tell the truth or to lie.
Okay.
And this is the origin, you know, like, When you're I don't know, the Catholics, you know, born with original sin or whatever, that's a bunch of baloney. But it comes down to choice and making a conscious choice. So just try to see how far back you can go. Your first, very first time that you can recall,
right.
where you were like, your inner self was saying, don't do that, tell the truth. But
right.
you chose to lie. I have my story, and I'll tell it. I think I've told it on another pod, on another show, but I'll tell
really?
It again.
Were yeah. you a little kid? Were you a little girl?
I was a little girl.
So was I.
And this usually happens, you know, when we start to get into that age of, you know,
the age of reason.
Reason.
Seven, right.
Yeah, around 7, 8, or 9. And I was about that. I was in elementary school. And
so was I.
And did I tell this story? This is funny, and you're gonna see the consequences of the lie. The consequences of the lie.
Well, I took a piece of candy and I didn't tell my mom, and she confronted me, and I still lied to her face. So, you know, and then you feel so guilty, but I want to hear about yours.
Okay, well, why do you hear this one? Okay, so my mom didn't want, my grandmother gave me this leather coat. It was like, you know, like Shaq. Remember that show, Shaq?
Oh, I love
like,
Shaq.
It was like one of those, like, really, it was like
with the fringe and you
got. Yeah, well, this one didn't have the fringe. It was like one of those, like, straight, and then it had nice buttons down the side, but it was like a guy, it was kind of like a, you know, remind me of a guy coat, but it was like, it was really slick, all right?
Okay.
And
okay.
So, there was a blizzard, and my neighbor lived next door, and I put that coat on because I was like, I wanted to show it off.
Right.
And I walked through the snow with my boots on, like moving like snow up to my like freaking waist. And so I'm walking through, and I get to the door, knock on the door, nobody home. So I walk back. It's a blizzard out. It's snowing, right? I get home and I look down. My coat is wide open. And my mother looks at me and she goes, what happened to your coat, and why do you, and she didn't want me to wear it out, you know? So I was like,
because it was a nice coat.
It was a nice coat. And I looked down and I was like, the twins tore the buttons off, because all the buttons had come off.
Oh, wow.
And I just did one of these, the twins.
The twins were your neighbors.
So the twins were a couple of kids that lived up the street. And to this day, God, if they listen to this, I'm so sorry. So
blame the twins.
And they were kind of known as being bratty boys. I mean, they never did anything to me, but they were known as being bratty boys. You know,
into mischief.
Yeah, they were into mischief. You know, they never did anything bad, but we were always like, as kids, we're like, oh, those are the twins.
Stay away from the twins.
Yeah, right. So what had happened is I said that, and my mother, when my dad got home, my mother told my dad.
Your father gets home, she said, right?
Yeah, my dad came home and she told my father, and my father went, woo, what? Those boys tore the buttons off of your coat? So he put me, he was like, we're going up there now to their house.
Oh no.
My father put me in the car. I'm sitting in the car in the back seat doing one of these.
Oh my God.
And goes to the door, knocks on the door, gets the mother and tells the mother what had happened. And my father's telling me, you tell him. And like, yeah, he tore the buttons. And meanwhile, the two boys, which you can't tell which one did it because they're identical, you know? And they're like, what the hell's going on? Because I'm accusing them of ripping the buttons off. And their mother's like pulling their ears, which one of you did this? And they're like, Mom, she's lying, you know?
My God.
And so this is where I learned pretty on quickly that lying was not a good thing because it had consequences.
I never
owned up, and how I own up now is telling this story.
Atoning.
And then
sorry, twins. You didn't really mean it.
So sorry. And I haven't seen them, you know, ever to apologize. But anyways, this whole thing with, you know, I'm going to relate this, you know, this is our sin of origin. This is when we first come up, you know, like we're accusing somebody else of something that they didn't do. I was lying. And to save myself from.
Well, because you didn't want to take the responsibility, and that's the problem.
To save myself from any sort of pain. But here's the flip side. This is what I learned just recently about this.
Okay.
And this is what we do in our country, is we see truth as causing pain and suffering.
Oh, that's profound.
Yeah. And that's where our country is losing energy.
Wow.
I learned that from Carolyn just this week, you know, researching for this.
But that's why
show.
The truth shall set you free, as someone said. But
oh, I mean, I probably would have got a little scolding, but my parents probably would have, but I wouldn't have gone through like that whole, like, you know, whatever.
But the emotions, shame, humiliation.
Yes.
Fear.
I was afraid of all that.
Yeah.
But I chose to lie at that time. And then I realized that is not the path, because it just is not the path. I mean, it causes somebody else harm. And I mean, there's some other things that I think I did around those periods of time where I lied to get myself out of trouble.
Right.
But I have matured and learned since then. I transformed and learned that was not the path. And, you know, to head things straight on, you know, with honesty. Honesty is a big part of what this country needs to be. It needs to be.
But it takes a big person, and a person that it has good self-esteem.
Yeah.
And knows themselves.
Yeah.
And
too often we have politicians that are just going to say things because they're being funded by some other company that they're going to end up giving, you know, reparate, you know, like they're going to give whatever to later on down the road, you know, like right now, it's like, who did Trump, you know, maybe bail out this time, or who did, you know, back in 2008, you know,
Obama.
Because yeah, Obama supporting, like, you know, when we had that bit of a depression there, you know, where did the money go when, you know, us small people on this micro, you know, level running businesses and stuff are suffering and paying for things with blood, sweat, and tears, and our country's choosing to support, which our rebel in this country is against. It's like, stop paying the cronies, you know, stop paying your cronies, stop having your favorites. It's like, this is a collective kind of thing. It's like, you know, we got
to. This goes back to hundreds of years.
Oh my God.
You know, I just heard a great interview with Shannon Lanier, who is one of the descendants of Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
And he's really, he's a very handsome young man and very sharp.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring him in because it's so interesting. You know, the things that he said was just mind blowing.
Well, he was, did you say that already? The descendant of Thomas Jefferson?
Yes.
Okay.
He was the descendant of Thomas Jefferson. And it's interesting because, you know, kids are so honest. And I love the fact that he said that when he went to school, he was so proud of being, and he's Black. He's the son of Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson.
Hmm.
He's in that lineage.
Yeah.
He's the ninth descendant in that lineage.
Yeah.
And he went to school and he stood up and he shared with the class when he was in elementary school. And he was so proud. And he said, you know, I am a descendant of Thomas Jefferson. And like teachers, you know, we've all had that teacher that just breaks our spirit. She said, shut up and stop telling lies. So, you know, when I heard this, because I am an educator at heart, I've been in education all my life, I'm like, that poor child. I mean, how devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating. And then, you know, you listen to the interview and he has such wisdom. I mean,
he has a strong character too.
He does.
Like a very strong, solid character that some, you know, along the way that he developed through a strong core family, because they obviously knew all this history and probably had to contend with what you just said. You know, you're lying, that's not true, you know, like that's not possible for one of our father figures of this country to have, you know, potentially had a relationship with a Black person while he was married to someone else. I don't know.
Right. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
but what's
right?
Very interesting is that the words that are carved on the memorial, you know, it's like the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Mm.
And, you know, he said that nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people were to be free. Mm. But what's very interesting from what we're talking about is that, you know, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves, but he never freed them.
Hmm.
And he had this deep and I'm sure loving relationship with Sally Hemings, of which he bore many children.
Yeah.
So it's just very, very interesting. And the interview was fascinating. It was on NPR.
Yeah.
And he just stroked me, and he wrote a book on the sons of Jefferson, but that Jefferson in so many aspects was so ahead of his time. Like he said, we must change with our times. Just like a man cannot wear the same coat that he wore as a boy. It's time that we changed. It's time that we really let those words heal and unify our country.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in school and we're like, wow, you know, this guy was such a visionary. But at the same time, like we're talking about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't telling the whole truth. Was it because of peer pressure? Was it because he didn't want to be ostracized by his cronies? Because he loved to live life large. I mean, he died $2 million in debt.
Well, that's fascinating that he died $2 million in debt. He loved the luxurious, entitled life. And if he fought for what he was stating, he didn't listen to this is what Shelley and I are talking about. He did not listen to his internal guidance of the soul. Instead, he stayed with the fated ego and stayed in that decision-making, choice-making process of keeping all these people in bondage for years. And what his descendant was saying, he's like, this was a super powerful man that could have made the changes that were necessary that we didn't have to endure all these generations.
And nine generations.
And we could have gotten it all over and done with back then.
Well, here's the thing. He was a pioneer.
Yeah.
And he was a visionary.
Yes.
But he didn't believe or what he said. He didn't practice.
He didn't practice it.
Yeah. He didn't practice. It was like outside of his home, he was a different person.
Yeah.
But inside of his home, he was someone else.
Yeah.
He was saying one thing, but living another. So, well, you know, the symbol of freedom and the symbol that surrounds that statue with freedom is kind of skewed.
Yeah. Well, did he want anybody else? He had acquired all this power. This is a shadow side of a mystic, because he was a mystic too.
It is a shadow side of
the
mystic.
He has, I think there's the Jefferson Bible. So he was really, right. You know, the whole thing with the mystic is, you know, they want to seek real truth, but that is aligned with God. They're searching for that, seeking for that higher truth. And he was like, oh, I don't want this man-made baloney of like some of the Bibles, the way they were written, or somebody
wrote his own. He was a brilliant man.
He went into his own stuff. But like Shelley was saying, he did not extend it. This is what our country is about. This is part of our sacred contract. We need to extend what we want for ourselves to everyone else.
He talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk.
Exactly.
And what I love about this young man, Shannon, he says, you know, because people are saying, well, let's tear it down, the statue. And he says, no, let's put other people around him that were part of the symbol of freedom. There were so many people that were part of the symbol, that they're symbolic to that of freedom. And let's educate, let's tell the whole story. And I'm so much into education, even if it's painful. And that's what we talked about, because the truth is painful, people, but we have to face it.
Yes.
And after we face it, then we can heal and we can move on.
Yeah.
But we can't if we're still telling half truths or lies.
Yeah.
Or lies.
Yeah.
So I really want to say thanks, Shannon Lanier, for coming on and sharing that in the interview, because it taught me so much.
Yeah.
And boy, I was just like, whew, taken aback.
Yeah.
And that takes me to education, because, you know, I always have to put that in. Why do we have to teach our kids in fragmented sections in education? You know, I remember when I was in the school system, the school board would always pass these mandates, Black History Month, you know, Black History Curriculum. And the teachers were like, you know, why can't we just integrate everything into one lesson of this country?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be fragmented?
Right.
It doesn't have to be. We need to teach the way it really was, the truth, the truth.
Yeah.
You got me on a rampage.
Oh, I know. So, well, basically, that's where this country is leaking energy. We've been lying to ourselves for way too long, and we're not standing up and actually doing the deep dive within and bringing forth the soul's purpose of this country, where, you know, we have leaders that are in office that are so concerned about whether or not they get elected instead of what is really needs to be done on this micro level of what the individual will need to just right now is survive. And, you know, not to be super pessimistic, but this whole COVID thing is leading us down a road of a faded situation. Mm-hmm. And if we don't snap out of this illusion that we're in, of how things are supposed to be and stuff, we are, you know, going to be in some,
it's a false
suffering. We are going down a path of suffering, and there's a difference between pain and suffering. Pain, my family,
you deal with it. Right.
Well, there's natural things during the human life that we experience pain. Like there's certain losses that we're going to experience in our life that are normal. Like that they're going to happen, and they're part of the human experience, where people die and we're going to have that loss, you know, we're going to grieve and all that. But suffering comes from when we have another option to make a choice about whether or not we're going to feel pain or not. And if we keep, you know, putting ourselves in these positions where we're going to suffer by making egotistical choices, then we can never reach our destiny. We'll be constantly in this spiral, you know, and right now we have the potential to really spiral downwards and into some severe long-term suffering if we don't snap out of it and come together as a nation and start saying, okay, this is, we're going into the global and we have to shift and change this where equality is for all. And some of these control issues that we have where we cannot extend what we want for ourselves to someone else, where we're competing, you know, like I can't empower you if I'm not empowered. These sorts of things, which happen on the micro level, it happens in our workplace, it happens within our family. If we can't do that from country to country, even, you know, like right now, this whole pandemic could have started. This is the whole thing, is like China trying to become a global power over the rest of the world, you know, causing something. I mean, this is just a,
well, we're going to have a show on that because I've been doing some research on that, and evidently they were buying our debt.
Yeah.
They were buying our debt. And
yeah,
we
to own us, to be our master. So we are slaves to them. And I don't know, as an American, I'm like, hell no. Am I going to have that? My rebel is going to be up and running and I will bear arms.
But well, that's why freedom must be managed.
Yes. Yeah.
In all areas. And part of that is truth.
Yeah.
The truth needs to be seen in a 360 way view.
Yes.
Not in a fourth, not in a half, but 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Because what we've learned from this show and from researching is that there was so much more than what was really said.
Yes. Yeah, by doing this whole series, didn't we? I hope our listeners and viewers have learned, you know, some other aspects, and it has encouraged them to, you know, do their own research, because there's so much, you guys. I mean, like I was overwhelmed with all the stories that I read about, and I didn't even tap into books that were written, say. There was quite a few books on this country, the history of this country right after 9/11. And it was all about this upsurge of like, Americans, we need to bond together. This is a wake up call.
Yes.
We're getting another one now. We're getting another one now. And if we don't wake up and shift the energy,
and
the beliefs, the ideas, we can do this energetically. And people, this is a whole other, you know, like I know it's a little woo-woo for some people maybe listening to this show for the first time. Energy before matter. We stepped into that during the atomic age. We're going to talk about this a little bit more maybe in our next show.
Yes, we are.
But this all happened. And it's interesting that this virus is on the atom level too, but it's all about destroying humanity. The bomb was, now this is some, you know, how many years later, 50 some odd years, whatever later.
Right.
And longer than that, actually. I don't know. And I'm like, so we're still dealing with this super micro. We've split the atom and we've split this cell, this virus. And we're like, we still haven't come to terms with the power of this energy.
Mm-hmm. Energy is everywhere. We are all energy.
And quantum physics has proven it, you know, like energy before matter, but we don't live by it. And we still haven't gotten to what that actually means. And it's because we're not taking responsibility for our thoughts and our deeds. And we're not being respectful to those around us. And we're not giving what we ourselves want. And that's where we need to be.
Totally.
Individually and globally.
Actively. Amen, sister. We couldn't have said it better.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Woo! Okay. Woohoo! I know. So we didn't even touch on we talked a little bit about the origin of sin. Maybe we can save this for maybe our next episode a little bit and tap into the seven deadly sins that we've been contending with,
right?
As human beings, and then the graces that kind of counterbalance that, and how they also play a role with those archetypal forces of this country, of the four core archetypes that we all deal with globally, and pull that together to start to get back to soul talk instead of ego talk or ego living, and get back into, you know, my story at the beginning, that was something that was sacred, and we don't even use those terms in our communication now, because it sounds a little bit, maybe it's too personal, maybe it's too intimate, or maybe I don't know what it is anymore.
Because that people we have lost gotten that. Numb.
They've gotten
people
numb.
People have gotten numb. So many people are self-medicating because it's so, like we were talking about, pain and suffering.
Yeah.
It hurts to face the truth.
Yeah.
But once you release that and you face it and you move past and through it and past it,
yeah,
you know, the freedom that's on the other side is liberating. It's liberating.
Yeah.
I know, because I went through it with my divorce.
Yeah.
You know, when you face it and it's like you're in so much pain and misery, you're suffering and you're suffering. And then it's just, you have to face the truth.
Yeah.
You have to face the truth.
Yeah. Most definitely. And, you know, we have to manage our own freedom on this micro level. Yes, and we have to be involved on the macro level so we can manage freedom that way too. We have to be aware of what's going on in all areas of our lives, all areas, and be an active force within it. And so one of the things that I wanted to, do you want to announce it? Like we're going to start. We're actually sometime maybe next month. We're instead of the Good Morning America show.
Right.
I think we
that's
need
in the past.
Yeah. I think we need an Evolve America coffee hour.
Yes, we do. So we're starting our Evolve America coffee hour. Stay tuned for
it. Yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be, we're going to focus on today's hot topics, what's politically coming up. We're going to get into that, all aspects of life. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to be live doing it. And we hope that when we do this, you'll hear more about it, that you'll join in and you'll come on and you'll be like, you know, like having your little coffee and saying,
there you go.
You know, did you hear this is going on and whatever? And like, what should we be doing about this? And we're going to talk about this stuff.
We're going to have people on the show. We're going to interview them. We're going to interview, you know, a lot of different people from all walks of life. We're going to be very current in what's going on in the world with news, because we both feel that, you know, we don't get facts anymore.
Yeah.
It's all opinion.
Yeah. 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 We need facts too. We need facts of what's actually going on. And we need the lies to be revealed.
Yes.
And I mean, I know I've been putting that out there, you know, like clarity and you know, that's what this show is bringing clarity, bringing joy, happiness, bringing all that good stuff back in. But like, really seeing things clearly, which we had a show on that, but you know, we just really need to go there. And I'd like to maybe close the show with a quote from John F. Kennedy. And it was during his inaugural speech, which I did listen to. And it was on, you know, Inauguration Day is my birthday, January 20th.
Yes,
but this was
is.
Before I was born, 1961. And he couldn't have said it better. This is, and I mean, we all know this quote. It says, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. We've heard that one before, but I didn't hear this one. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. And that was the purpose of our founding fathers. That's what, you know, Shannon, you know, Thomas Jefferson, yeah, his son, his descendant is saying to us all. And we really need to go back to that and and bring that up and leave some of this narcissistic, what's in it for me kind of attitudes behind. Leave the fate behind. We will still be working with fate and destiny, you know, together, but we could be so much further ahead, and God can solve these problems, these predicaments. If these we all became into alignment with our soul, these predicaments would probably a blink. This is all energy, baby. Energy. A blink, like a snap of the fingers.
Snap of a finger.
You know, predicaments could be, if we all aligned, you know, all aligned into our own souls, and then allowed for and listened to what's truth. And trust that. These are the things. This is where we'll gain power and empowerment.
Yes.
You know? Exactly. So a recap of the show. Fate transforms into destiny through the power of your choices. Your authentic free will. Transforming fate into destiny of America. And what that means for, you know, we went over this, the citizens of our country today, America's destiny. We are called to be unifiers. You know, I'm calling each of whoever's listening, we're called to be unifiers. That's you.
Yes. Stand up and
And we have to recognize that when we make fateful, egotistical choices, it keeps us from extending that which we want for ourselves out of fears to survive, which Shelly and I are going to have a course on these four survival archetypes, man. Yeah. So we're going global, you know, like with that, but these fears of survival individually and as a nation, our nation deals with these two. All nations actually deal with these four, core universal survival archetypes. So in our next show, we're going to go in and discuss the sacred contract of America, but it's your sacred contract to America.
That's right.
And we're going to discuss that and where we are today as a nation, which we've done a little bit of that today, but this new paradigm that's evolving, we're going to come out of the narcissism and get into our evolution and evolve and hopefully lead to our illumination. And this COVID-19 is a catalyst for that. So we're going to be discussing that. And we're going to move forward into the economic global arena and call in a need for unconventional business leaders or just leaders in general. We're going to
the visionary leaders that we need to take us to the next phase of this world.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for joining us for part 3 of the series on the Sacred Contract of America. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a review or a comment and let us know if it inspired you or just a thought maybe or motivated you into some action. And then never miss an episode from Evolve 360 by remembering to subscribe or download on iTunes or YouTube, or you can find everything at our website at www.evolve360show.com. So this is
Shelly Grace
and Shelly Divine with Life Unplugged, Raw and Real.
Woo!
See you on the next Evolve 360 Shelly Shell Show. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
And blessings to you all. Thank you so much.